Bill Hill. I am one of the owners slash operators slash sewing machine mechanics slash shovel holder, digger, you name it, Bristol Bay Brailer.
I'm Carl Hill. I'm Bill's brother at Bristol Bay Brailer.
And talk to me about your business. You built a new workspace and you moved into it last summer. Tell me about how Bristol Bay Brailer has been growing.
Bullet points, I think our first year we probably did a couple hundred items. We do a number of things from slush bags, brailers, and little handbags, a specialty project. We did a couple hundred the first year. I think the second year we did over 500. And then last year we did
1,400 maybe.
Or 1,400. 1,400. So it's been growing pretty quickly.
And who does all the sewing?
Diane does most of the sewing. Diane Hill is Bill's wife, and she does the majority of the sewing. We have other people that come in and cut out the brailer patterns and things like that, and sew handles, but she does most of the sewing. And we also have hired other people that have been working part-time to sew as well.
And at this point, what are the next things that you need to do to grow more?
First, we need to get our facility complete. That's the big one. We're also looking into some additional equipment that would help us manufacture products a little more efficiently. Diane Hill went down to an expo recently for fabric, in textile fabrics. She looked at a bunch of machinery that we might need to incorporate into our business. And that's really our limiting factor, is some equipment needs, and then staffing is a big one. We need to find some people to work for Bristol Bay Brailer, and that's kind of our current choke point.
How are you doing in terms of capacity? Are you selling as much product as you can make?
Diane was working 16-hour days for about 2.5 to 3 months straight last year without a break, not even on a Sunday. She just kept on working. And so we've got her at max capacity, and until we can get some more people on board, that's where we're at.
And at the expo, did y'all sell all that y'all are able to make for this year?
No, we did reserve some spots for the last-minute fishermen, which there are plenty of those. We understand that because we're fishermen as well, but we exceeded our goal for the expo.
That's great. And I think the really special thing about it is it's owned by people in Bristol Bay. All the bags are made in Bristol Bay, but doing business in a local area like that can be hard. What are some of the obstacles that y'all deal with?
What probably the most difficult thing is shipping for us. We are kind of confined to the barge schedule to Bristol Bay because air freight for the materials that we need for our business is extremely prohibitive. One roll of our fabric will be a couple hundred pounds. So that's a big choke point for us. The new presidential administration and some of the tariffs they've imposed actually impacted our business significantly. One of the shipments of fabric that we were supposed to get on the last barge didn't make it. So, we've had to find some alternate routes to fill that need. But overall, I think we've managed a lot of the challenges pretty well.
How did the tariffs end up making it, the product not be on the barge?
There was some unsurety in what was happening with the tariffs. So the company that we purchased our fabric from, they actually purchased their fabric from a distributor in China. And since they were unsure, they held back their shipment. And so by the time the shipment made it to America, the last barge had already sailed. So, we had to find some ways around that. And it's also increased the cost of doing business. Some of our fabrics are now 25% more expensive to purchase than they were last year.
And does that mean that you guys have to raise prices, or does that just come out of your bottom line?
We did raise prices a little, enough to cover those increased costs, but we're trying to keep our prices at a reasonable level.
What about selling outside of Bristol Bay?
We're also talking to people in Cordova and in some other places in Alaska, as well as some some people in Washington. We haven't done a lot of shipping out of Naknek, so the majority of our business is still in Naknek, Dillingham, Igigik, Bristol Bay area.
And what's the importance of having a fishing business like this supporting the industry in Naknek?
One of the things that we've seen happen for so many years is, the commercial fishing supply companies coming in, bringing all their people in, making all their money, and then bringing it back out of the region. That's a lot of money that they're making in a few months. Some of it gets spent in Naknek or King Salmon or in Dillingham in the area, but a lot of it goes back out of state, and we're trying to capture some of that and keep it in our region for our local economies.
We had a couple of things that we wanted to do when we started this business. So we started out with the idea that we wanted to do something that was good for our families and also good for our community. And one of the goals was to recapture some of the money that comes in with the fishing industry to create a few more jobs locally and to do things that, you know, our community is proud of.
I just want to say that, it, you know, as we talk to people, it seems like people are really excited to have this industry in our local area, in our region. We appreciate all the support that everyone's given us. It's been really fun.
And we'd also like to encourage other people who have some ideas on how to be a part of the fishery industry support to just jump in and start doing things. We can be working year-round on the fishery support industry, and we can still go fishing. Let's just start working on it.